You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Tuesday, the 73rd anniversary of the invasion of Normandy. And joining me from the great state of Texas is Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. I've just been missing on you, man. You've been you were busy yesterday,
yeah.
and then in a meeting this morning. So
this meeting went pretty long today. So
because I thought that you, I thought you had been to a Normandy. So talk to me. You're an infantry guy. Right, you go to Normandy. I assume you were down on the beaches. You're down there looking at that beach from an infantry weapons perspective, guy. What was that like for them to come ashore like that?
That would have been. I mean, there's some. You know, you watch Saving Private Ryan, and I remember. I don't know who it was, and he wasn't in the military, but he asked me a question. Do you think it's overdone? The movie was overdone. I mean, it had too much in it.
Right.
I said, no. If anything, it probably had less in it. And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, let me put this in context for you. That beach, you know, it isn't that big. And you bring division. I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of men across an open area from the sea. And the advantage was all the Germans. And they're in defensive positions. They have the height. They had elevation, they had depth, they had everything pre-registered, they had obstacles out, they had wire out, they had everything that you should in a defensive mindset. I mean, that whole beach was an engagement area. All you had to do was pull the trigger, and you're hitting something. And to see, I mean, just to fathom that idea when I was on the beach standing up looking at these cliffs, and they're not massive cliffs, they're not, you know, they're just probably like, no higher than the ones there in, with Dana Point, you know?
Right.
They're not huge. But the beach, the time where the ramp comes down and you go across, that's a long distance. In some cases, like 500 yards, 5 football fields.
Wow.
Just to get the cover, you're on a beach. Okay, where's cover on a beach? There is none. You know, some of the tetrahedron, the big steel obstacles they put out there, you know, and it's big I-beams.
Yeah.
You can't hide behind I-beams. You know, you can put about half your body behind one, but pushing forward. Get to the wall. Get to the cliff.
If anything, that was kind of almost an illusion that, you know, hey, you can hide behind this. But the truth is you can't hide behind it, and guys stop there, and, you know, and much, as you said, much to their own detriment, because the only safety was getting off the beach and towards the base of those cliffs.
Yeah, that was, if you hear and you read books and you see some of the movies, the guys that lived were the ones that did not lose momentum and just kept going to the beach under that withering machine gun fire and rifle fire. I mean, the Germans had bunkers, hundreds of bunkers. The Navy tries to do its best, but they couldn't silence all those bunkers.
Yeah.
The Air Force came in and bombed them, and they couldn't silence them. You know, it was man to man. And there were some times where they were, you know, there were some very pivotal times where they could have lost the momentum, you know, on towards, you know, goals, all of those beaches, and they could have been lost. And then pushed back out the sea.
What was it when you saw that for the first time? Do you remember? What did you think?
I remember. I was taking the emotion of, because I mean, I hadn't been on an amphibious landing, but I've been in combat, and I could just imagine what these young men were going through in their minds. This fire and this sound, and all of his sense, all of their senses, you know, on high alert and being just saturated with information of what's going on. And to know that you just had seconds to live. I mean, like running down a busy freeway, you know, an 8-lane freeway with a blindfold on, trying to get across. So I could just imagine what they have been going through. It was an emotional moment for me because, you know, many died. Many men lost their lives on that beach. And, you know, it's just like everything else. They were alone. They were afraid. They were tired. They were hungry. And, you know, they paid the ultimate sacrifice. It was very surreal to be standing there.
You know, the interview that I play of a guy that was in the Rangers, you know, Mike, he's, you know, like a lot of guys that you grew up around in the upper Midwest, there's a heavy Scandinavian presence in the communities. His name was Harris Holman. You know, he's talked with this Norwegian accent. And, when you see pictures of him, he's a big, young, you know, strapping guy. And, he told me that, you know, we had our pick of anybody in the Rangers, guys would come, they would kind of try out, and if they couldn't do what we were looking, you know, physically, he said we were a pretty rough group, and he said we had incredible, incredible guys. There was no doubt that we could do what we were supposed to do that day. I said, well, what did you go up the cliffs with? He said, our rifles and hand grenades. He said the whole thing was based on surprise. And then he gets emotional. I don't know how I lived through it. He said, I don't know how I lived through it. He said, still, after all these years, I don't know how I lived through it. And he must say that.
Yeah.
He must say that 3 or 4 times. But, I mean, if you can imagine, and, you know, Mike, you and I have talked on this program how, you know, a lot of, you know, survival in combat is luck, you know. You take a step there, you get missed, I get hit, you know, and you can imagine being on that beach that day, just how that sentiment. And then when they went up on top of the cliffs, you know, he said it was crazy up there. He said thankfully the bombers had annihilated anything that you could navigate off was gone. It had been obliterated.
Right.
He said, but the craters they left, you know, were the reason that those of us who lived, we lived because we went from crater to crater and closed with those 18 and 16 inch guns. And I said, did they fire those things off when you guys were up there? He said, yeah. He said, it was crazy. We had to get to the sides because if you were anywhere near the front of that thing, you know, simple, the force of the blast would kill you by itself. So.
Yeah, the concussion of that. Apart.
Yeah. So it's interesting to hear him talk. And you know what? Post-combat related mental health is another thing we talk about. He got asked by some of his comrades to go back with them, and he said, I can't go back. He said, my blood lays there. I cannot go back there. And he never, you know, he just, and he kept the door shut. So kind of interesting. Way that he dealt with his stuff.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if I could go back after experience. That'd be really tough.
Yeah, he was wounded 4 times. He met General Patton. Patton told him he deserved the Medal of Honor for what he did. And after the 4th time, they didn't send him back in combat. So it's just interesting. And when you look at the pictures of that. We look at the pictures of it and the fields of fire for the, you know, for the machine guns, you know, down that beach, and you're just sitting, you're going, holy smokes, man, holy smokes. I don't care how much you're coming ashore with, that had to be just, you know, literally hell on earth.
Oh, I mean, the ramp of the landing craft opened and right in the face of an MG-42, ridiculous firing, you know, gun that's firing basically 30 caliber bullets into your landing craft, and you're just a tube, you're a tunnel with men who just tear you apart. You know, the first couple rows of guys would just fall in the first burst. Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you wonder, like, well, how are those guys ever even close to being the same, right?
Yeah.
How did those guys come home and be normal?
How did they become normal?
Yeah, 73 years. And then, I mean, those guys, right, they went from there. That winter, they do, you know, the Battle of the Bulge happens that winter, the 82nd Airborne. You know, you see all the different elite units that are involved in that.
Right.
And so it's a pretty crazy thing.
Great,
Yeah. When you went through Normandy, I've never been. Give me the highlights of the tour.
Just how beautiful it is. I mean, you know, the hedgerows, the rolling land, how green it was. I mean, it's just such a beautiful place. And when you kind of put your mind, like, what it could have been like in wartime, you know, it just kind of transformed this landscape of this. Basically, anywhere you look could be a work of art painting. And, you know, to turn that into a battleground, it was crazy. And I just can't, I remember how, it's just that very tranquil, really quiet, small little town, you know, villages, the old buildings, just absolutely gorgeous place. But then again, turned into a horrible, despicable place in World War II.
The hedgerows, you hear so much about that the Germans couldn't have designed a better place to defend if they wanted to, in terms of having it compartmentalized, making it difficult for the army troops, the Allied troops, as they try to get off the beach and move inland. And so is the battlefield, is all that, is it developed now? Is it all pretty well preserved, at least around the beach?
There's still areas. They got the bunkers are still kind of there. You know, not all of them, of course. There's some of them. And then you can still see, you know, tattered places. Like, I can't remember the town, the village, but it was where... one of the parachute battalions or regiments landed and then fought in. I can't remember the name of it, but the old church in the center of town still has
San Marigliese.
Is that? Yeah, maybe it. Yeah, where like the 101st were.
Right.
Yeah, and they have like small little places of remembrance things. You know, what happened there. But the churches and some of the older buildings still have the bullet damage.
Really? They left
the reminder.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll tell you, because it is. There's nothing like that. And you see that in different parts of, you know, different places. You know, for instance, there's sections of the White House where they've left the smoke damage of when it was burned in 1812. As just to be able to show people, and there's places you'll go here in the United States where the Civil War damage from them that they've left, there's no more vivid reminder than you when you walk up and you see something like that and you think, wow, check that out, look at that, that's awesome.
That's crazy.
I got an email for you. Hey Mac, I'm curious about Mike's thoughts on the fact that this Air Force veteran leaked this document and has now been arrested. You guys have had some interesting conversations about it. Mike, did you see the story that they arrested a former Air Force airman and charged her with handing over top secret documents to I can't remember the website. Did you see that story?
If that would fall under news, then that probably did.
Well, you watched the news last week, man. I don't know where you are relative.
But I did watch the news. Maybe 30 minutes of it.
Okay. All right. So not a lot of it.
Yeah. You know what else? there's, you know, because they milled the F-35 right here. There's two F-35s flying overhead right here.
Really? What base? Yeah. What base? Cool.
Carswell, the Fort Worth base, where Lockheed's at. They're always flying by. Oh, look at this. There's three T-47s over there. Army 47, flying in formation.
Feels like home, then.
Kinda.
It's always fun. The okay, now, are you nervous about the Red Sox-Yankees tonight? Are you nervous about that?
Oh, that's right. That's tonight, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Talk to me. Are you nervous?
Red Sox Red Sox second place.
Yeah, no, they've it's going to be fun. I mean, they're good teams, all of them. Toronto, Baltimore struggling, Yankees and Boston. So it should be an awesome summer of them beating up on each other.
Isn't the Yankees just like a game ahead right now?
I'd have to check. They went up to Toronto and split four games up in Toronto. And so, but no, I mean, all these teams are pretty evenly matched. And so, it's fun to watch. And, Mike is
That's not how you started off the season, though.
Well, no.
Remember?
Trust me. When you're up, what are you going to do? Like, be nice?
Take advantage of it.
Thank you.
It may not last forever.
Because you know it's not going to last forever. And so it's called making hay while the sun shines.
Me, on the other hand, I would never do something like that.
Mike is the king of it. Oh, whoa. The Yankees are 32-22 and are two games up on the Red Sox. The Red Sox are 31-25. That means they played two more games than the Yankees. So the Yankees probably are, if you assume that they'll win those other two games, they're three games up on the Red Sox, 3.5 up on Baltimore.
Yeah, I think this team is running out of that engine, man.
So we'll see. We'll see. It ought to be good. It ought to be good no matter what. So anyway, what else on the program? First of all, how's our guy? Out of the hospital? Everything good?
Yeah. I picked him up yesterday, drove him home. He's at home. Yeah, everything's good. Ralph is recuperating at home now, so that's good.
What about the did you straighten out Buck's birthday stuff? Come on.
No. He gave us such a hard time over the whole weekend. We saw him at church again, and he's like doing the same thing, like, you know, yep, you know who your friends are, the ones that remember your birthday.
Yeah!
I haven't even met Mac, but yet he's the one that commented on my birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, give it a rest, bud.
Trust me.
That's an accident. It's definitely an accident because he doesn't use social media. He doesn't even know how to work it. So I don't even know if he knew his birthday was even out there.
I'll tell you what. I saw Buck's. I was like on that like a hobo on a ham sandwich. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Cause you know how like Facebook has all this stuff going on, like, oh, it's, you know, Joe Blow's birthday. It's like, whatever. And then, but I thought, it's Buck's birthday. I was like, whoa, I'm on this, like, white on rice, man. I was all over it. So, anyway. Fun stuff.
Yeah, I just got a text from Buck. I'm not going to say it over the radio because it's profanity.
Oh, I can't believe it. I thought it was nice.
It's aimed at me. He's calling me it. So, this is going to be milked for at least a good month or so, maybe even longer. We'll see.
Longer. Trust me. It's not going away.
It's
not going away until there's some other kind of event that makes this one obsolete. And it'll come eventually, Mike. Do you know that? It'll come.
It's Nick's birthday when I actually remember it and then wish him happy birthday. And then that day we'll still be bringing up the past of, oh, you finally remembered the birthday. Oh.
No. It'll be one, it'll be one of, no, it'll be kind of an event that, how do I say it? You know, that kind of eclipses that, that you either did something or he forgot, that eclipses the birthday, and then you won't have to say anything anymore. Birthday, Buck? What? I'm doing good, Mike. No problems. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, you should become a fan of, of the Houston Astros, man. They are really good.
They're kicking ass right now.
They're kicking everybody's ass.
They beat the Rangers up something fierce, man.
Yeah, they beat the Yankees up something fierce. I want to say they went to the Yankees stadium and swept them. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Yeah, and they're young and they're good. Wow, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah. Their pitching is good. Their hitting is good. Their everything. Yeah. Oh, they're doing pretty good. That's too far for me.
How far is Houston from you?
That's like shit. That's like you driving to damn Oregon. Let's go to Portland, Oregon for lunch. You live in Orange County, California.
Mike, what about here's another email about asking me about Normandy. Hey Mac, would you ask the Gunner when he was at Normandy, was he on barracks duty or wherever he was stationed over there, or was it later in his career? So,
barracks. Well, yeah, I was with Fast Company, so I was in England. I was stationed in England. So I was in England. I went to all those old battle places. So went to Bellawood. Went to, you know, every kind of neat, the battles you read about. One of the old, well, St. Evel was the Air Force Base, the Royal Air Force Base that I worked on. St. Evel and St. Colin Minor and St. Colin Major were three bases. They were like within rock throwing distance of each other in World War II, and they used to fly fighters and Beaufort bombers, you know, the two engine bombers from there. And so you'd go out there, and there's, I think it was St. Colin Major. Anyway, there was, Germans came over and attacked the airfield, and there was still some damage left there too. Kind of neat.
Hey, I want to ask you a law and order question. All right.
A law and order?
Well, I think we have a problem in this war on terror, and our problem is that we treat these guys like criminals, and they're not criminals.
Yeah, they're not criminals.
They're combatants.
No.
Do you think I'm off base with that? That, oh, Mac, here you go. What's next? You're going to be goose stepping down Constitution Avenue? Sure.
No Miranda rights.
Right. So when do you, so here's my question to you. When do you cross that threshold? When I communicate with them, when I go to visit them, when do I become a combatant? Because if we don't evolve the way we look at these guys, then what has to happen is, and there's stuff in Great Britain today that's coming out about these guys who ran over people on the bridge over the weekend and then went into a restaurant and started stabbing people, is they had calls from other people telling them, these guys are radicalized, they're going to hurt people, and they didn't yoke them up. So I'm sitting here and I've been contemplating this for the better part of a month. What do people have to do in order for them to become considered a quote unquote combatant?
Pull out.
That's what?
Yeah. So they hide behind this curtain of political correctness, and then they come out and get you. We got to go after, you got to go after people. I'm sorry. You know, shit. I'm not saying it's right, but, you know, World War II, we rounded up all the Japanese and put them in camps out there by Bridgeport, California.
Right.
Not saying that. So what I'm saying is, you need to look at everything, everybody, and then narrow it down. And if they, there's something sticky that looks bad about them, it, you don't have to go through the whole it's a duck thing, you know, walks like one, looks like one, sounds like one. No. Just, and then get rid of it. But I don't think it's war on terror, Mac, because we use that term, but we're really not at war with terror.
What are we at war with then?
We're not at war with them at all. We're just, this is whack-a-mole. So we go after, you know, places. And, you know, it's, I heard it on the news, actually. I can't believe I'm saying this, but guy said, we got to stop this bullshit NSA meta stuff and go back to real police work. You know, we're doing these formulas and these calculations and this, all this meta stuff that NSA is working on, and do they fit this mold and do this. No, just good old detective work. Beat the streets, shake them up, go out there, find them. Quit relying on all this technology, because obviously it's not working.
Well, it is, but it's, you know, the Brits, I was listening to an interview that they were doing, and they were talking about these guys were on a list. They had other Muslims, right, calling hotlines saying these guys are going to do something bad. And, you know, they didn't yoke them up. And I just don't know. So to me, it's like, okay, when do they break squelch? When do they become a combatant? To me, if you've communicated with them, right? And so this is, to me, what's fundamentally different about you know, this as opposed to Japanese internment. What we did in World War II is we rounded up Japanese people. Age didn't matter. And we sent them off to the desert. We sent them off to the other side of the Sierra Nevadas. I mean, and that's wrong. And we're not talking about that. But I don't care what race or creed or color you are. When you communicate with Al Qaeda, with ISIS, or the Taliban, and you're learning from them, you've, in my opinion,
you're a combatant.
You just became a combatant. You no longer right. And so to me, we're not comfortable with doing that.
No, because we still look at them as criminals. Right. So we can't arrest them because they haven't committed a crime. Well, they're not criminals. They're enemy combatant soldiers. And they picked a side.
Yeah, so
you don't have to wait. You know, you don't have to wait for the enemy to shoot at you. If you're at war with somebody and you're in their country and you're fighting, and you roll up on a camp of soldiers, you don't want to go, okay, you guys going to fire at us or shoot at us? Come on, start this so we can get the squad. No, open season.
It's just so, because again, look, in what, the last 2 weeks, there's 30 more people dead, 22 of them at a concert, all right, and another 8 sightseeing and having dinner. Come on.
Yep. It's not over with.
No, the only thing we know, right, is that we're one day closer to it happening again.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, all right, man. I know you're. I know you got big stuff going on. So, anyway, we'll talk to you on Thursday. Be safe.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, there you have it. Michael Musselman here on the 73rd anniversary of our invasion of Normandy. I thought he had been to Normandy, and wow. We're gonna take a quick break. More of we'll wrap it up coming up next. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, that'll do it. Leadership 101. If you missed it, you'll hear it here in a couple of minutes. So don't touch that dial. If you missed it, General Mattis and Secretary Mattis and General Dunford, their speeches at the Air Force Academy and at the at West Point. And if you're a leader, if I was you, I would get. I don't care if you're civilian, military, what. I would share that with my employees. I would have a discussion about what is service-based leadership. Because the sense I get from civilian, that's not how we do it. So if you want to make a dent in your company, there's an easy, easy way to do it. That'll do it. Thanks for listening on a Tuesday as we start our second year. All Marine Radio. And again, at some point in your day, remember the families of those killed at Normandy, those wounded at Normandy, those who were mentally never the same after that experience. So God bless all of them and what's still one of the great military feats of arms in the 20th century. So with that said, God bless them. The greatest generation. Their legacy is huge to the rest of us. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. All Marine Radio on Tuesday. Out. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.